is the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet line change. Now, back to Eric Messersmith, TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, Hannah Yates, and Matt Whitener on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Blues captain Alex Petrangelo is going to join us about 10 minutes from now, along with former Blue Cam Jansen, former Mizzou receiver TJ Moe, Matt Whitener, and Hannah Yates. I'm Eric Messersmith, 855-202-8255 on the Ryan Kelly phone line and the text line. Are you going to sing for Petra?
That's a badass song, though.
Thank you.
Not bad.
Oh, do you write it?
Yes.
Oh,
me, Mick, Keith. Yeah.
It was a collaborative effort. He doesn't want to take all.
Actually, it's a cover of an earlier song of mine, but it's okay.
No big deal.
They're big. They're important. Mm-hmm.
Cardinals and Nationals 2 hours from now as the Redbirds gone on a road trip, which is probably what they need at this point. They were good on the road last year, so maybe that'll carry over. Not good numbers so far. The only Cardinal regulars hitting above 250 are Aledmys Diaz, who's hitting 296, and Yadier Molina, 278. Grichik is hitting 217. Dexter Fowler, 174.
Ooh,
Karp, 150. Wonger, 188, although he is drawing walks, so he's doing something.
Well, he's been on base 7 out of 20.
He's got, yes, good job, Cam.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, he's got 3 hits and 4 walks.
Good job, Cam.
Seven times on base. His on-base average is 350, which is actually pretty healthy.
Good math.
And that's
Eric.
What you want with a guy like though. You want him on base.
Johnny Peralta is hitting a .143. He struck out 7 times in 14 at bats. So much for spring training. Jed Jerko's hitting 167. And Matt Adams, whose bat absolutely has to be in the lineup under any consideration, is hitting 200 with a 200 slugging percentage.
That's 2 out of 10, Cam. That's 2 out of 10.
Yes.
That's an ironic lineup assortment there, I'm sure. If Matt Adams has to be out there. The other day, Jen Langosh tweeted out something. I was just like, wow, what a night at the ballpark. Said that there was a ball hit in the left field that had a 96% catch probability, and it did not happen.
Yeah, that was the one. That was the only one that, because he's caught, to his credit, he's caught all the balls that have been hit right to him. They haven't always looked right.
No, he has not.
Except this, yeah.
And the 65% of the other day, he looked foolish on.
Yes, the one to the wall. It hasn't cost him a game yet, but it probably will. I was okay.
That was a big deal during that game, though. That was a big turning point.
I was okay trying this out a couple times, but I think we've seen enough to know that, like, let's save this for emergencies. I mean, if you have to get his bat in there against righties, put him in at first base.
Maybe we can get Mike Matheny with that same sound, saying that exact same thing. I was okay with this occasionally, but now I see that we shouldn't put this in there.
Yeah, well, listen,
save it.
Right now you got two lefties at first base. If he's your fourth outfielder, go get a new first baseman and make him a right-hander so you can have a guy in there to compliment Carpenter.
Well, no, I mean move Carpenter to
third. I understand. Oh, no, I understand.
Days.
I'm saying if you're going to play Adams as your fourth outfielder, go ahead and get a first baseman then.
And what... I know it's Jose Martinez. There's a reason he was in the minors for a decade. I get it. But all he did last year was hit when in brief appearances as a pinch hitter. All he did in spring training was rake. Like, give the guy a chance every once in a while. Throw him out there. Give him a start. I mean, he's 1-for-3 this year. Small sample size. He's hitting .333. He's got to walk. Like, get him out there. Give him a couple starts here or there.
Here's the thing. Everything's a small sample size right now. All
it's
of
true.
It. Yeah. No matter what it is, however you break it down, it's been 6 games. Hey, it's okay. But you'll see who they are on the road. They're starting the week off in D.C. with a Nats team that has a ton of talent. I mean, I think they're one of the prohibitive favorites in the National League this year. Then you go and play the Yankees, and that's going to be tough. You're going to see a chance for a lot more guys to get at-bats this weekend in American League ballpark, designated hitter in play. So we'll see how that plays out. But I don't know. Some things I think mean a little bit more. I think Johnny Peralta, having the struggles he's had, especially not making contact at all, that bothers me. Matt Adams being slow to acclimate to left field, not so much. It's just not as easy as it seems. But I don't think that. I think you leave people where they're at and get things taken care of.
Derek Gould thinks it's pretty easy to adjust to left field.
Yes, he does. Doug Vaughn, however, did not.
Doug Vaughn does not think that's true.
Yeah,
I think it depends by what you mean by adjust. Like, can you get a guy out there who can make the routine play? Like, Adam's shown he can do that. But if you want anything more than that, I don't think you're going to get it.
I don't even think Adams has shown that he
that's
can routinely make
no,
the routine
that's
play.
The whole problem. He can't do that.
He can make the play on the balls hit to him.
Well,
if
what
you,
the hell?
If he doesn't have to take more than 3.
I mean, come on, dude.
I'm just saying.
What do you,
I've seen.
What's
guys
the argument there? He's, he looks shaky over he there. He looks look out of place, shaky. Man. Are you kidding me?
I was sitting right in the front by him at the game yesterday, and my takeaways were he's walking around kind of. He just looks a little insecure as well. He's constantly looking at Dexter Fowler. Dexter's, you know, pointing either move up or move back, kind of telling him what to do. I mean, that's a completely different position that he's not. You know, he's being called to do that. He's just not.
He
used
still looks
to.
Thin.
And I don't know. I mean. His positioning's just a little whack. He just, I don't know. I guess we'll see what he can do. But
Hannah just called his positioning whack, if anybody was wondering.
That sums it up well.
All right, let's stop for a second. I love the fact that Hannah has accurate usage of slang that I use.
Yeah, that's whack, bruh.
I appreciate it. She knows how to use lit correctly. She knows how to use turn up the right way. I love it.
She uses turn up incorrectly all the time, though. It's just if you use it that frequently, you're bound to find an acorn somewhere.
I don't know about that. Now, I think you can say turn up. I made dinner the other night. I looked at it. I was like, turn up.
Then you can't give her credit for saying it properly if it works in all contexts. Make up your mind.
I don't know. You couldn't. I couldn't be like, Cam's, I've got low testosterone. Turn up.
I do.
That's exactly how
I do.
It
I just told. I just went over it. It's on the lower side.
Turn up.
But I don't look at him and be like, he's like, hey, dude, guess what? I've got low testosterone. I'm not going to look at him and be like, I turn up.
Well, you should, because I am going to turn that bad boy up Wednesday.
That's on them. I'm
that
not
makes
tell
more
them to
sense
do
than your dinner. I don't understand.
No,
turn
his
up.
Dinner was lit.
Oh, that
so
dinner was
up
lit. Thank you.
It wasn't whack, for sure.
No, it was not that. I'm confused.
On the text line, the Brentwood Bandit says, this team needs to trade everyone not named Martinez, Reyes, and Piscotty and rebuild.
Oh, that's aggressive.
Unfortunately, they got two really Martinez, aggressive. So they get four people.
That'll work.
Wait, so we get, that's a lot of moves to make.
That's a lot.
For, what is this, April 10th? Shutting down shop, boys. Mm. Come back around next spring, see if it's any better.
Can we nullify that Piscotty agreement? Is it too late?
Well, to come back to that point, though, I just think that permanency is good. Leave Matt Adams, I mean, Matt Carpenter where he's at. I mean, just because he can play something, I don't think he has to go and do it anymore. It's not like you're moving somebody off of a position that they were a gold glover at. I mean, if anything,
what
it makes
sense. What
about
putting him in left?
There you go.
He's seriously been there. He's
Adams
been there
at first and put Marp at left.
Let's hope they never need to put anybody in left besides the three outfielders and Martinez.
How about we do this? How about we leave Randall Grichuk alone and let him play his position? Let's leave him in left field and let him sort that out. And the guys that you brought up to play outfield, put them out there.
Yes.
Jose Martinez has done nothing to not warrant that. Either way it goes. I mean, come May, first of all, they won't have any reservations about popping Harrison Bader up here either. You know, I mean, you'll
Tommy Pham hit a couple homers the other day, so he's always there, lingering around.
There's no shortage on talent in the outfield for these Cardinals, but I think that, you know, if you want to support these pitchers and you don't want to fall down the rabbit hole of losing these strong performances they're having, I don't know, put people in behind them that can hold those things up.
That's Matt Whitener along with Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, and Hannah Yates. I'm Eric Messersmith. On the text line, Big Al says, Cam, I will loan you some of my testosterone.
Oh,
there you go. God. I don't know about that. Hannah Yates' twin brother Harley says, Cam, how many homers do you think Vlad would hit if he stuck his body bat?
Oh, my.
What have I started?
Don't read those.
Oh, that is funny.
I started reading. I thought they were going to ask Cam a legitimate question.
That's a straight legitimate question.
No,
probably a lot.
No, it's not.
Probably a lot.
The visual on that is just, it's scarring. It's horrifying.
It is.
God,
where'd I start?
Wait for his first conversation with you.
I know.
I really am so excited to say to you.
We got to stop saying that, though.
We can ask Petro.
Yeah, thank God he's not on the line yet.
We're not asking. No, we're not asking Petro how big.
I would not ask him that.
No. Eric, he already knows.
Eric admittedly said that this has just been stuck in his mind. Like, I think he thinks about it on the weekends.
When I see him, when he's in the game, that's what I think about now. Like, out there, when I see him, I saw the interview with him, this is what's in my mind.
Eric, I have to tell you, I've had conversations with women before that think the same thing. Once they know something about a guy, that's not the lane you want to go down.
Okay.
I don't want to have you creepily staring at the ice while men are playing hockey on
I'm not saying I'm happy
you
about
are
this.
Kind of a creep, aren't you?
Hannah said the same thing.
I did not say that.
She told me she thinks about it, too.
Eric's trying to play it off because he's embarrassed.
It's in all of our heads now, Cam.
My bad.
I know TJ thinks about
it. It's actually, I haven't put any thought into it.
I'm a homosexual.
That's true. No, you're right. Thanks, TJ.
Yeah.
Thanks for
zero
back.
Thought.
You shouldn't.
Yeah.
Give me nightmares.
It was a nice fun fact, and you move on with your life.
I'm trying to move on, dude. Yeah. I'm trying to move on. It's going to bite me in the ass. I'm going to call
Doug
Armstrong.
Let's hope it doesn't bite you in the ass.
Oh, God.
Poor choice of words.
That thing going near
me.
Especially my ass.
All right, we got to clean this up. Alex
Petrangelo
is coming on in a few minutes with us here.
Oh, he's the captain now.
The captain's
God,
on.
God, the captain's sorry, coming Petro. In.
Let's get it together. Let's act like this is a professional radio show. Oh, my God. All right, where we're serious. We take sports seriously.
Mm. Anytime we want to leave the male anatomy out of the show, I'm all about it.
All right.
Anytime. I'm cool with that. Oh, well, Hannah's with me. There we go. So we've got a consensus now.
Still 3-2.
Oh, well, that's TJ Moe. This is Cam Jansen and Eric Messersmith.
Democracy wins on this show.
Oh, my God. Hey, Petro's about to be here, guys.
Yeah, here. Someone change the subject immediately, please.
Oh, poor Petro.
Big Al on the text line just said, stop thinking of me to himself, apparently. So he doesn't want to think about himself anymore. His testosterone's doing too much.
Oof. Is he on?
The man is with us, Alex Jesus. Petrangelo, Blues captain, joining us on the Ryan Kelly phone lines.
What's up, Petro, dude? What's going on, man?
Hey, how are you, Cam?
I'm doing good, man. How you feeling, bud? Take a little night off the other night. Well needed, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's good to get a little bit of rest. I mean, long season, I guess. The minutes add up there over time, so it's not fun watching, though. I really don't enjoy it. It's never, you played, Cam. It's we're bred to play, so I guess in the long run, though, it'll be worth it.
Well, here's the difference, Petro. I sat out because I sucked. You sat out because we need you beyond belief. All right. I gotta bring this up though. And Petro, the first time I saw you, I remember you walking into the locker room, and me and Dan Hynote and Keith Kachuk are sitting there, and you reminded me of Andy Dufresne coming off that bus in the Shawshank Redemption, and you're just tall, skinny, drink of water, and we all look at each other with that same facial expression as all the guys in the prison yard were in the movie. And now, 300 points later, a captain on your, you get to see on your jersey, you're about to go into a playoff run, and you turn this damn team around, man. How was this year? It's been a long year. You won a gold medal at the beginning of the season. I mean, this must be one of the longest years of your career, obviously. Tell us about it, man. How you feeling about everything going on to the playoffs here?
You know what? I think you're pretty spot on there. I think if you look back now, there's a lot going on in terms of it being a long year, but I guess for me, trying to grow as a captain and kind of turn this team in the right direction at the same time went pretty quick. I mean, there's obviously a lot going on with the coaching change, and we had a lot of ups and downs this year. But my mindset the whole year really was just trying to keep things even keel, and it's hard to do when you go through the situation that we went through. But I'm lucky; I got some guys that I can lean on in that locker room, guys that have been around, guys that know me as a person, guys that know me as a player. So. Second half of the year was certainly a lot more enjoyable for us when we started winning, but I think you walk around the locker room right now, and Cam, our guys real well, and we all enjoy being around each other, but when you're winning, things are different. With the success we had in the last 30 games or since Mike came over, it certainly makes things a lot more enjoyable, and there's a sense of confidence that we have right now. We've had it all year, but I guess we're kind of carrying that into the playoffs, and a lot of us have some unfinished business after losing to Minnesota there a few years ago, and I think Mike feels the exact same way.
Alex, it's pretty well known that the intensity turns up in hockey from the regular season to the playoffs. It's a long 82-game season, and then it really turns up. There's a lot of guys in your roster that have never experienced that. What is your advice to them to be prepared for this?
Well, just enjoy it. I don't remember my first experience was, I was worried about being too excited and too hyped up about, the environment, but, I think we got to use that to our advantage. I think, it's part of the reason why the games do elevate, to such a high level in the playoffs is the fan noise, the crowd noise, and everybody knows what's at stake. So, you talk to guys who, haven't been in the playoffs for a few years or haven't had many opportunities, and talking to a guy like David Perron, who is, in Edmonton for those years, it's you only get so many opportunities at the dance. So you got to make sure you enjoy it while you have it and make sure you lay everything out on the line because you don't know when that opportunity is going to come again.
We're talking with Blues captain Alex Petrangelo here on the Line Change, driven by Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. A career-high 14 goals this year, Alex. Did you make it an effort to try to pick up the offensive game, especially after Kevin Shattenkirk got traded?
You know what? I think I spent a lot of time watching Cam Jansen highlights.
Ooh! Got me! Snap!
You know what? No, in all honesty, a big thing for that, for me, was just the opportunity. Shetty was terrific and obviously what he was able to do, but I think he had to shoulder a little more defensive responsibility when he was here. And to be honest with you, I think just the opportunity of being on the first unit on the power play and getting more offensive zone starts and having a little bit more leeway in terms of playing offense, it's really what it resulted in. I spent a lot of time this summer with Sean Farrell. He's our video coach and skill coach, and just working on my shot and putting myself in good positions to get the puck on net. So it wasn't so much a focus. I think it just kind of fell into place, and obviously without Shaddy there, I had to shoulder a little bit more responsibility, and really my goal from the start was to kind of go with it and try to make that transition, not having Shaddy around, as easy as possible, and just did my best.
You know, TJ mentioned that what would you say to these young kids that's never really played in the playoffs before? But your first time making the playoffs and having your first appearance there, any veterans come up to you and explain anything and how much of a different realm it is going into the playoff? I mean, it's a completely different animal. Anybody talk to you, any veteran back when you were young, come up to you and kind of give you the rundown on what the hell's going to happen?
You know what? Barrett Jackman always took me under his wing, and he really, remember everything that he said to me that first year. And one of the big things was, every point in the game is an important play. When you have momentum swings from crowds and from the fans and buildings, and it's something that I've kind of told these young guys, is every single play matters. So it might be something small, it might be something big, but every single shift matters. So that builds momentum throughout a game and throughout a series. So the big thing, he taught me and I've kind of taught these young guys is, regardless of the score in a game, whether it's game 1, 2, 3, 4 or whatever, you're trying to build something. You're trying to take the momentum out of the team across from you. So every single time you go on the ice, it's got to be with a purpose. And there's certainly no shifts off because, teams smell that. They smell blood in the water and they know how to capitalize on that.
Alex, there's been a lot of guys who have been coming into the lineup and changing things around. Obviously, you have Ivan Barbashev come up, and you have Sanford now, guys on defense with Schmaltz and Lindbom. Butler, how has that been transitioning? Has it been okay in the locker room and, throwing guys in there, kind of learning the chemistry, or has it been kind of a challenge?
Well, the new coaching staff in Chicago, I don't know the guys, but I can tell you I wasn't here in training camp, but they can be, they've obviously done a terrific job because these kids are coming up and they've absolutely been fantastic for us on the ice. I mean, they've just gelled with us so well and they know what to expect coming up here. But I think when you have a core group like we have that's been together for as long as we have, that really do have the chemistry in the locker room together, it's easy for guys to fit in and they know their place and they understand what it's all about. So that's a good part about having a group that's been together for a long time. It's an easy transition for these kids to come up.
Petra, when you fly up, you guys fly out tomorrow, I'm sure, and you go to Minneapolis, and I'm sure you guys are staying in the hotel right next to the rink. Tell us about what do you do when you get there? Is there going to be a team meal? Do you walk over for practice? Kind of give us a rundown for the next 4 or 5 days for people that really don't understand the travel and what you do when you're in these cities for, two games like this. Give us kind of the rundown on what you guys do in the meetings and practice. And do you have anything, you specifically, are you going to do anything with the team as far as something fun or anything like that, anything different? What do you got going on, man?
You know what, during the season, I guess during the regular season, you fly in and guys kind of go for dinner or see family or friends and, whatnot. But playoff times, I think, talking to Mike over the last couple of days, it's a real good opportunity for guys to kind of, crunch down on what we got to do. So we'll probably get in tomorrow, and we've set up meals at the hotel and we set up a lounge at the hotel, so we pretty much spend 4 days together. We have meals together, we're watching the other playoff series when we're not playing together, and tomorrow night we'll probably have the meeting to kind of kick things off and
play cards in somebody's room,
guys. Play cards, yeah. You know what, that's why I like setting up that lounge, is you kind of have a
yep.
central area. Cam, the hotels get old after a while.
Oh, God.
After 82 games, it's kind of boring. So any opportunity we can get guys out of the room and play some cards or play some video games or, throw the football around in a ballroom, whatever it is, it's a good opportunity to get guys a mental break.
Alex, if you guys are going to make a run at this thing, a lot of that is going to be on the back of Jake Allen. And the turnaround that we've seen from him, from struggling and having his kid and having it, Carter Hutton have to come save him for that short time and then to be able to turn around and be the best goalie in the league the back half of the season. What have you noticed with that change? What have you seen? Obviously, Martin Brodeur took over, but what has been the nucleus of that change?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, he's kind of approached things the exact same way. That's the one thing I've been amazed at. He's been fantastic, obviously, the last however many games. I think it's a big transition being the number one goalie, being a starter. But a lot of the things that you guys see, you know, if you look at the statistics of Jake, I mean, really, it's, I think as a group of five in front of our goalies, we really are playing a lot better. A lot of the goals that they were scoring, you know, we just weren't playing defensively the way we needed to play. And we've changed some things, obviously, here in the last few months, and it's really resulted in less glorious opportunities for the other team. I think now teams are getting shots from the outside. They're not from the grade A scoring chances. And I think as a group, we've really taken that to heart and really tried to make life easier on our goalies, and that's resulted in them obviously being fantastic. And both those guys are going to be important for us here moving forward. And we're lucky to have Hutz back there too, because he's one of the most supportive guys in the locker room. So they got a good 1-2 punch going.
Hey, Petro, I want to bring it back to you real quick. You carry a lot of the burden for the team, obviously, because you've got the C on your sweater. But what has this year been like from you since you took on that role? I mean, obviously, the coaching changes and all of the young guys coming up, and you still kind of having to hold the team together, not only on the ice, but in front of the media and everything that you have to do. What's this year been like for you up to this point?
You know, going through a coaching change as a captain is not an easy thing. You have one message that you're trying to support, and then you got to flip that switch and relay someone else's message. You know, Mike was great when he came in, certainly helping me through that, and make sure I had the reins to, you know, be that guy. But, you know, for me, I, when it all comes down to it, you can have it, you know, go through coaching changes or trades or, you know, whatnot. The biggest thing for me really was the on-ice product. And, you know, I think if I kept that on-ice product leading the way on the ice the same way, I think guys would follow. And that was really my focus when things started getting tough. So that part's the easy part, I guess, going out and trying to play your best. And like I said, in the locker room, as hard as it was, I got a lot of guys in there that really helped me out and support me. And I feel like I'm finally, you know, at a spot now where I know how I'm going to be as a captain and guys know what to expect. And, you know, I always told the guys when beginning of the year, I said, if I'm different than I was last year in my personality, then I expect you guys, you know, to tell me. So my goal was to really be the same person I am, but really kind of take things on the ice to the next level.
Yeah, it's a tough gig, man. Look, you won World Juniors in 2009. You won a gold in the Olympics in Sochi in 2014. You won another gold in the World Cup. You're a winner, man. What's your take on this whole Olympics ordeal and the NHL opting out? I know you've this is such a long year because of the World Cup, and I know going to the Olympics is it's a difficult process one way or the other, although very fun. Mm-hmm. It's always fun to play for your country. But, Petro, it's a grind, especially for a guy like you who plays 28 minutes a night.
Right.
Tell us about the decision, what the NHL is making, and maybe what your take is like for a guy like Alex Ovechkin to say, I don't care, I'm going over anyway. Could that be a problem? What's your take, bud?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that dilemma works out. Certainly, you know, I guess each owner is going to be able to do what they want with their players. I know from my personal standpoint, you know, it's disappointing. It's you know, I guess I'm a little bit biased. I've been there and I've won, so I'm looking at it as an opportunity for us to, you know, have a normal season. This year, obviously, you had a bye week, you had the World Cup, you had the All-Star game, and it's been a few years now since you really had a normal season. You know, but at the same time, I could say that not just for me, but for my wife and my parents and my brother, and they came over. Now that you look back on the Olympics, it was probably the coolest experience I'd, you know, ever been a part of. Being able to be part of the actual Olympic Village and get to know some of the other athletes and know how they train and see how they prepare. And that's all stuff that I guess when I was there, I didn't really realize it, you know, how special it was. So it's a pretty special opportunity for guys who can go. But at the same time, you know, our obligation, you know, is to our teams. They pay our salaries and, you know, that's how we make our living. So, you know, you can only say so much. It's certainly a tough situation on both sides.
Now, Petro,
but at the same time, I'm sure there'll be more discussion as we go forward.
Now, Petro, Cam was sharing a few things about you. He obviously brought up what it was like to play with you there, but he also told us that you were a huge college football fan. Now we've got a college football guy here, and we swear that it's all right for the pick plays and whatnot. Wait, for that,
let him answer that first. Are you a big college football fan, or am I wrong on that?
You know what? Football. I'm a sports fan. So everything. Sports,
so that means no.
I'm just getting into college football now because in Canada we don't watch college football, so not really a big college football guy. But I'm NFL and NBA and NHL. Yeah, and
but you like
baseball.
Well, we want to have you on in the summer and talk football and stuff like that. We want to know what you watch. And apparently I was completely off with that analysis. I don't know where the hell I got that from.
Well, the next thing I was going to ask him about was when he saw you hanging around holding a camera in the hallways when you were there doing the thing.
Oh, when he was warming up and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, Petro, I told him that I saw you at Holly's house and you're pissed that I didn't have you on because I've had pretty much everybody else on. I blame it on Matty Whitener.
He's my God. Thanks,
it's him.
Man.
It's his job.
Thanks, man. Sorry, Petro.
Petro, hey, man.
You know what? Hey, Cam, you know what I said to you, though? I love you to death, man. And, you know, we had a lot of good laughs together over the years. But when I saw you with a camera and a microphone, I couldn't take you seriously. But, you
know, as you shouldn't. As you should.
Now that I've heard you and listened to you, you're doing a great job. All you guys are.
Thanks, my man. Hey, listen, we're all rooting for you, bud. You take this team. You've been a great leader. We've been watching, man. This has been a long year, but boy, oh boy, you guys look great. We're all rooting for you, and this is going to be fun to watch, Petro, man. Good luck. I'll see you at the game. With my camera and microphone.
All right, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
See you, big boy. I'll talk to you.
Blues captain Alex Pietrangelo joining us on the Ryan Kelly phone lines. 14 goals, 34 assists this year in 25 minutes. Over 25 minutes.
He's the man.
Cam's like,
I'm an idiot.
The first time he talked to Petro, he's like, TJ, we got to get him on, dude. He loves college football.
I was thinking of somebody else, to be honest with you. Damn it, Petro, I'm sorry. I know you're still listening. Oh, he's
got
so
confused with somebody else.
I know, somebody
else. So now you don't know him either.
Petro,
I got you confused with a completely different guy.
Oh, poor guy. Oh, he was great.
Who was the guy you got him confused with?
I don't know, Eric. Jeez, Louise.
We were at the Children's Hospital covering that event the first time he saw you with the camera microphone. You were with me, and I've never seen him laugh so hard.
Oh, I know.
He thought it was a joke.
Because it was.
Pulling his leg.
What the hell? I know. I looked foolish. I had no idea what I was doing. I'm trying to talk to Pat LaFontaine, and you're telling me what to say, and I still messed it up.
I know. That's true.
He's great, though. Like, he's for him to take this team over like this, as being a captain, you know how difficult it is to be on a team, being a captain, especially when David Backus was your captain before this, go through all this turmoil. Everything's on. Do you think he ever ducked away when media was coming in the locker room? Do you think he said, no, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not in the mood.
He didn't pull a Cecil.
No way in hell. He stood there and he took every question and he answered every question as a leader. And we were hard on him. We were hard on him through that stretch. We needed that. And I said it a million times. The core group of guys on this team need to come collectively together and get control of this team. And that's exactly what they did. And it all starts with number 27, Pietrangelo.
And the Blues will begin their playoff series against the Wild Wednesday night in Minnesota. Now time for a 590 Sports Update with Matt Rocchio.
All right, two pieces of NBA history over the weekend as Russell Westbrook became just the second player ever to average a triple-double across a whole season, joining Oscar Robertson. That was on Friday night. And then he broke the Big O's record for triple-doubles in a season when he posted his 42nd on Sunday night. Russell Westbrook is currently averaging 31-10-10 through 80 games this season. And in a quick Mizzou recruiting update from the weekend, 5-star forward Kevin Knox visited Columbia. Top ESPN top 100 point guard Blake Harris committed to the university. And Frank Cusimano reported that East St. Louis postman Jeremiah Tillman will be granted his release at some point today from Illinois. And then Power Mizzou's Gabe DeArmond a little bit earlier on this show said that they all fully expect Jeremiah Tillman to commit to Missouri to finish off this period. And in what has become St. Louis's favorite soccer story, Stan Kroenke's Arsenal had another fan-infuriating loss today, dropping today's match 3-0 against 16th-placed Crystal Palace. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thanks, Rock. And this is the Line Change driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.